From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Singer-songwriter Maggie Kerner lives life loudly.
You know, you hear of some girls afraid to use their voice, or some young ladies that are so quiet and, the thought of screaming frightens them. Oh my gosh, no. Like, I'm trying to become a person that doesn't scream.
But Kerner's voice has more than volume. She moves people to do and say the darndest things.
This guy was like, I'm just here to tell you that if you do not at least try to pursue music, you will regret it for the rest of your life. And I promise you, you do not want to wake up one day with the husband and the kids and really hate your life because you didn't try at least.
Maggie Kerner, no regrets, after the break. Not long ago, Maggie Kerner was a promising student in Shreveport who was hoping to go to graduate school and become a child psychologist. That was Plan A. Thank goodness for Plan B. Ms. Kerner stepped out of academia and began singing seriously, professionally, and with unexpected power. In recent years, she's been learning skills that schools rarely address. How to build a band, how to tour, how to manage disappointments, and carry on. She's recorded with her own groups, she's fronted the funk band Galactic, and she's written mesmerizing songs that bespeak an extraordinary interior life. In 2020, Maggie Kerner will release her first album on a label with worldwide reach. They apparently heard what everyone else hears when she sings.
Why do they walk away? Why do they take away what they want and then don't know when to stay? Why, baby, why do they scare away? You ain't gotta hold me, darling, you know. You just gotta hold it down for our equal day. I don't know why you're so scared. No, we ain't got shadows in our bed. I don't know why you're so scared. I don't know why you're so scared. No, we ain't got shadows in our bed. I don't know why you're so scared. Never has there been a better time to be a woman. Feeling good with what I give and what I got. There's no more pressure to try to fit in your box. This is the year I feel no more about the cost. No, scared away. You ain't gotta hold me, darling, you know. You just gotta hold it down for our equal day. I don't know why you're so scared. No, we ain't got shadows in our bed. I don't know why you're so scared. No, we ain't got shadows in our bed.
Down the tone of your voices, no wooden.
Maggie Kerner joins us here at Marini Studios. You sound terrific.
Thank you, Gwen.
You know, we should also mention that Rob Kellner is here on piano, and you are playing guitar. If my memory serves me, this song you dedicated to Paul Ryan, the former the former Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington. How did that happen?
I get these little catchphrases, these hooks that'll come to me, and I'll just write them down. But it was, "Why are you so scared?" And then it became, "Why are you so scared? No, we ain't got shadows in our bed," thinking it was like maybe a song about like a breakup. But then the day that Paul Ryan refused to accept any of the Planned Parenthood signatures that they had worked so hard to get, I mean, he wouldn't even see them at his door.
Reproductive health.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it just infuriated me, and I wanted to do a Facebook post.
I see. So instead of like posting a screed against a politician,
a verbal. I was like, you know, that's not what I was put on this earth to do. That's not how I'm going to affect people the best, in the best way possible. Yeah. Not the last thing we need right now is more division. You know, we just need more compassion and more agape love. You know, that's what I've been talking about a lot lately.
But so it's interesting the way you play guitar, actually, because you don't play it in sort of the traditional way. It's almost, you play it almost as if it's a lap instrument. Mm-hmm. And you have an open, and you don't mind having an open left hand on the neck of it. You know what I mean? Like, which is interesting because then it becomes a sort of a percussive instrument.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never learned how to play it properly, nor did I ever learn how to play the piano properly. I'm like self-taught, mm-hmm. poorly, but self-taught in a way where I can write songs. I was very uncomfortable playing it just then. But
really?
It's just because I knew that we were recording. But, you know, like when I'm in my house, I'm an amazing guitar player, right? But I don't know. There's something about the same way I used to not be able to sing as well as I knew I could in front of people. It just takes, doing it a bunch and getting really comfortable with it.
You got to make me sing, boy. You got to make me sing.
Have you always had a voice like this? I mean, this is, a particularly unique and powerful voice.
Singing voice. Mm-hmm. My mom told me I came out of her screaming louder than any baby she'd ever heard. and, you know, was always never, you know, you hear of some girls afraid to use their voice or some young ladies that are so quiet and the thought of screaming frightens them. Oh my gosh, no. Like, I'm trying to become a person that doesn't scream, right? So my mm-hmm. mother has a teacher's voice. I think I probably get it from her.
Like, oh, that's that ability, clear voice that can go across a room. Billy?
Yes.
Stop that.
Oh my gosh. So I definitely inherited this ability to get my voice across in a loud manner.
I know you better.
But what I don't understand is why no one encouraged you to take those music lessons, to take up an instrument.
Yeah.
You know, why do you suppose that, you know, it turned out that way?
I think because I don't come from a family of artists. I come from, which is ironic because my mom taught art, but then she became a history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Is it good that nobody ever taught me music because then I'm able to put certain things together and phrasings and chords and bring them to Mannheim Steamroller during Christmas time? But no. So I was lonely for most of my childhood. And so music to me, I remember when I would hear it, like being in my mom's car in the back seat, singing na 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 na, you know,
Journey.
She, my mom played great music, and I remember her teaching me very young, oh, that's what a hook is.
Oh, yes, that love and touch and squeeze
and
song.
You see that part right there, that part that gets stuck in your head, that's a hook. Like, I distinctly remember that conversation, being in the back of the car.
And you were hearing it mostly on the radio, or were you hearing it on other from other sources?
So on the radio, the first time I ever met, like, fell in the same way I, like, can see a man for the first time and, like, go, oh crap, like I am wooed. the same feeling I had when I heard "Glycerine" by Bush. It was the first time I ever fell in love with a song, and that was actually, we had just moved to our new house from Broadmoor to Spring Lake, which was like moving on up. Mm-hmm. I was in, I believe, second grade, so I was 8 years old. It was 1994, and I heard "Glycerine," and it was in the back of my mom's room, and she had a TV in the back of her room playing, which,
like, her school room.
No, in her bedroom.
Oh,
which
her bedroom.
Is like not unheard of. Like, it was, I think, on VH1 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in a way, because music was not always playing, I had these distinct time-stamped memories in my brain.
And so what was it about "Glycerine"? I mean, was it the lyrics or
it's the chord progression. And then the melody on top, it's the boom, 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 boom. You know, like the way that I play guitar a lot, honestly. I just realized
that. The pulsing way.
Yeah. It was, I don't know how to explain it. You the things that you're pulled to, musically or sexually, we never know what forms these opinions. But I've had moments like this before where you hear something and your body just starts floating towards the music.
There must be a skin. I'm sinking in, must be for real, 'cause now I can feel. I didn't mind, it's not my kind, it's not my time to wonder why. Everything all white, everything's gray. Now you're here, now you're away. I don't want this, remember that, I'll never forget.
With "Glycerine." Coming up, Maggie Kerner comes out of the closet. Stay with us. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Here's Maggie Kerner with "I Love You, I Do" from her 2013 album, Neutral Ground.
If I was born on a ledge, I'd have jumped by now. Only to fall to my death as I hit the ground. cause I never know, no, no, I never could understand what it could mean to be a good woman. And if I was born in the tree,
musicians are like rhythmic sponges. They take in as much as they can, and it all comes out in the songs. Singer-songwriter Maggie Kerner drew inspiration from her hometown, her friends, and daytime television.
The Oprah Show was so educational. Like, I was learning about women's rights really early, or our lack of rights, rather, and bringing that to my Catholic school and bringing these stories. Oh, you know what I learned? And, like... being known as that kid, don't invite her to the slumber party, you know, but like, I'm so grateful that I also learned to chase your dreams like Oprah did, and to not limit yourself as a woman, and to not think that you're only here to have children and be a wife, not in that order, to be a wife and then have children in the, you know, the Shreveport order, but to like just challenge. I mean, it wasn't just makeovers.
Well, it's interesting because everybody likes to criticize television. But I remember as a child learning a great deal from TV. And there was a lot there that I wasn't learning in school. So I think that that must be an experience that a lot of people, young people have.
I totally agree.
But then you made this decision that really, you know, I mean, has set the course of your life. And so talk about that.
So the fireball was in my soul, and I knew that this is what I wanted. But what society in Shreveport and my parents, who just wanted, you know, financial stability and happiness for me, they wanted me to really go get my master's and become the child psychologist and live in Shreveport, find a husband, start a family. And while those are all beautiful, beautiful things that I could have done with my life, I was like, before I go and do those things, I gotta try this first, because I met a guy who was in town in Shreveport filming a movie, and he was an actor. And it wasn't him necessarily that made me do it. He was just the one voice that gave me permission to go do it. He gave me that Any Given Sunday halftime speech that lit a fire under my butt.
What did he say?
He said...
That's a hell of a comment to come through your life.
We had a 10-day... I was 22. I just graduated from college in May. He was in town. We had like a 10-day little love affair. In those 10 days, I bought a keyboard with a sustain pedal. And in those 10 days, I wrote 2 songs for him. Again, nobody taught me how to do that, right? So this guy was like, I'm just here to tell you that if you do not at least try to pursue music, you will regret it for the rest of your life. And I promise you, you do not want to wake up one day with the husband and the kids and really hate your life because you didn't try, at least. You don't want to resent your present because you never did anything in your past.
That's deep.
All I needed to hear to have the permission to then go to mom and dad and say, I am coming out of the closet as a musician, and I do not want to do what you want me to do.
And how did it go?
My mom burst into tears. Aww. And my dad, with a stone-cold face, just said, fine, you start at the restaurant at 6 a.m. Because that's what musicians do.
Wow.
That's what people who want to be famous do.
Well, do you think he was trying to scare you straight?
Probably a little bit. But at the same time, I think more than anybody on this earth, my father has understood who I am. So
that's...
he is...
important.
Very creative too. He's just more creative with business, right?
Well, in having that conversation, what you've done is, you know, I mean, have you seen those images of like of the Apollo missions that are going to the moon, and they, you know, the rocket goes up and then it separates, and then the little part keeps going, and the big part falls away.
Yeah. That's really that kind of thing.
And then it's over time, little, you know, and so in a way, it's like when you've made that decision, you have, you know, you've stepped away from your parents' dreams for you.
Yeah,
you're establishing your own dreams for yourself, and to some degree, that they're going to have to, you know, what I mean, they're going to have to fall away. You're going to have to be on a path that they can't go on with you.
Right.
And so that must be, or I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that can be kind of frightening.
Yes. Yes. I'm also recovering. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't had booze in about 4.5 years. And before that, I had 4 years of sobriety from 20 to 24. So it's only been truly recently that I feel like I've really like taken off from the nest, and not just financially, it's, you know, just mentally.
Right.
Allowing myself to think differently.
Yeah. And at what point did you decide to leave Shreveport?
So when I graduated from 22 from college, now fast forward, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, I'm 24. I'm recording my first album with Brady Blade. And then
Brady Blade of that wonderful sort of musical family from Shreveport,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The father is a Baptist minister, I want to say. And then the sons, Brady being the producer and Brian also being a drummer.
Yeah.
And but they have played with just about everybody who's ever been on the charts,
yeah,
huh?
They're incredible.
Dave Matthews and Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and everyone.
Between
and every
Brian
jazz
and
person.
Brady, it's literally everybody.
Right. And so how did that go?
It was great. I learned a lot. I was so green. I had no idea what I was doing. Brady is super all over the place. Like, we call him ADD superstar. And and then all of a sudden, he's taking a nap on the couch.
Oh.
And you're like, wait, where did he go? He's sleeping. But then, you know, I was scared to voice my opinion, and I was scared to, like, kind of take a leadership role, because I didn't know what I was doing.
So I beg and I plead and I pray to my God to touch and show me the way. The tears and the fears, they won't help me deny.
I genuinely thought that I was going to become an overnight sensation.
Right.
And an interesting thing, two interesting things happened that kind of derailed me. The first most important thing is that I started drinking again. I had been sober when I met Brady, you know, and then I started drinking again. And then I moved down here and continued to drink. And then the other thing that happened was that Adele became she became like this huge thing, and we had similar tones, and I felt like an accidental cheater brand. Do you know what I mean?
What is an accidental
cheater
brand?
Well, like a cheater brand is somebody that takes like somebody that has a distinct thing and then like is like, I'm gonna do that too because maybe it'll work for me.
I see.
An accidental cheater brand. So I came out with my album around the same time she did, and it was just...
Which one was it? Adele 18, Adele...
It was the 21 that
21,
was that really,
yes.
Like, and I wanted to name my album 24, because I was 24 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was having a major quarter-life crisis.
Maggie Kerner, 24.
And she released her number, and I literally was like,
we have
to change it to quarter-life. I just try not to do anything that's already been done.
Yeah. So then the album comes out, and then what happens?
I had to get drunk at our bar on a visit down here, insulted the chick that cuts hair there, so she gave me a mullet. So now I don't have any of this hair that I have on the album cover.
Yeah, this sort of long blonde hair.
I have chopped it all off into a pixie cut, basically, and I am drinking again.
Okay, so...
I not only don't look like I used to, I'm not acting like I used to, and I'm burning bridges at a steady pace. And so I'm going to move down to New Orleans and find my people. And what ended up happening is I moved down here. I did. I found my people. I was in the right group from the get-go.
Walk me down the street, click my heels to the beat, I know. These big old lips on my face got some soul to snap in your face, I know. Responsibilities got me smoking too much weed, I know. Well, daddy is your song. Did I make you sing along?
So I really like beautiful haunting music, clearly, but every once in a while I get to write a song like Daddy's Song. It is a song I wrote with David Shaw. So I had met David and the Revivalists. They had played up in Shreveport. He helped me write the second group of lyrics, and he became a feature on it. And he and Zach Feinberg of the Revivalists came up to Shreveport to record on it.
So daddy, it's your song. Did I make you sing along? I know. Well, daddy, it's your song.
Is it a shout out to your dad?
Not really. I mean, that would be kind of gross.
Because I thought it could be
sexual.
Like a shout. Yeah, that's what exactly. Because I thought it could be either that or to a lover. You know.
Well, so initially, my dad was like, "Can you please just write like a happy, upbeat song so I can want to play your music?" So daddy hears your song. Did I make you sing along? Is a literal like, but in order to write a song with David, we made it a relationship song, which is gross. Thinking about my dad, like... Blah, blah, blah.
Well, your voice is very much... They really complement one another.
I think so, too. He's the only human I know that I have blood harmonies with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And you've performed together quite a lot, particularly with Galactic.
Particularly with Galactic. Yeah, we did... We did about 5 shows with them.
Right. And you did two very interesting songs that they still perform. Galactic still performs, which are Dala Diva and Hey Na Na.
Yeah, David and I co-wrote those.
That's right.
Yeah.
And which are so amazing.
Thank you.
First of all, I remember listening to Hey Na Na, never knowing that it had become the theme song of a television show.
Top Chef.
Top Chef,
yeah,
New Orleans.
The New Orleans one. Got a really tasty little check about that. I was so proud of that check. That was definitely David Shaw giving me an opportunity, and then not only giving me an opportunity, but rooting for me and giving me, you know, equal songwriting credit and just being such a good friend.
Yeah. Well, what were you able to do with your check?
I don't remember. To show it to my dad and be like, see, you can make money.
That's Galactic with Hey Na Na, featuring songwriters David Shaw and our guest, Maggie Kerner. Coming up, plastic surgery? Botox? Stay tuned! I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. When Andrew Campanelli heard Maggie Kerner sing his song Birds, he said she was meant to have it.
We were birds of a different song. We were speaking a common tongue. We were built on the shifting sands. We were blind to our circumstance. You and I were made for the garden, but you and I were destined to fall. You and I may end where we started, but you and I were destined to fall. When the sirens call, no love when my will is gone, no one who will pay my debts, no comfort from cigarettes. You and I were made for the garden, but you and I Lord, I feel like I'm lost in the crowd. With my heart in my hands and my head in the clouds. Ooh, Lord, I feel like I'm lost in the crowd.
Maggie Kerner here at Marinet Studios with Birds, written by her friend Andrew Campanelli of the Revivalists. In recent years, Miss Kerner's collaborations with other artists have helped her take a series of giant career steps. She's currently on the Concord label, along with Esperanza Spalding, Kiana Linnell, Elvis Costello, and many others. But she first became a primetime player in 2014, touring as lead singer of the funk band Galactic.
I went from performing in dive bars to maybe 50 people to, with like the sports game still on while I'm performing, you know, to being in a 20 plus year well-oiled machine with a huge stage and a huge audience.
Yes.
Learning how to do a proper sound check. Having a writer, having a tour bus, having a tour manager.
Right, so you're learning how to hold your own against a band big with that big a sound.
You gotta fake it till you make it, sister. Like, I literally was like, all right, put me in. Yeah, I can do this. I can do anything you want me to. Because at the time, I had just recorded my album Neutral Ground down here in New Orleans. I'd been living down here, found a band, wrote and recorded an album. And then my guitarist, who I wrote a lot of the songs with, whose tone was the album, he moved to Nashville.
Mm.
So I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. And then I got the Galactic gig. So I really was just like, sign me up. I will do anything because I don't know what the heck I'm doing with my life right now.
But, you know, you did a wonderful thing to get yourself some exposure when you wrote an email to a producer called Fink, a British producer and songwriter. Is his name Finn?
Mm-hmm.
Finn Greenall? Is that his right name? Well, his given name, I should say.
Yeah.
And he'd already produced Amy Winehouse. He'd produced John Legend and some other singers. And you, like, did the equivalent of a cold call where you emailed this man out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up producing your EP.
Yeah.
The EP is called Dig Down Deep.
Right. Finn and I recorded a song called Cold Black Ash, a song called Opium Den, a song called LRB Road, which is going to be on my next. Like, we recorded a lot of songs together, and when I ended up going to Berlin, like, we wrote and recorded some really, really great stuff. It was years of getting to know each other through email, and then actually writing with him, and then recording with him.
And when was the recording session?
The recording session was in 2015, 16.
But what I'm going to assume is Concord Records will present you as an ingenue, you know, someone who is new.
It's just new to them.
Well, yeah. Well, are you an ingenue? I mean, is that, you know what I mean? When do you feel like an ingenue? When do you feel like an old woman?
I feel like me. And I'm going to focus on how I feel one day at a time. Some of my fans would probably take offense to that because they've been coming to see me for 7 years, like at my 4-hour cover gigs in Pensacola Beach at Bamboo Willie's.
Like, yeah.
They met me there, and they have been following me and watching me grow year after year after year after year after
right.
year.
And you have a huge following on Facebook. You have more than 16,000 followers.
Well, that's cool.
But another thing, though, is that probably more than any other artist your age, and I'm assuming you've turned 30, you're in your early 30s,
mm-hmm.
right? And but you talk about Botox and plastic surgery more than anybody any artist
maybe
I've heard.
Because I haven't done it, and it's by me vocalizing it, like, it's like talking, like, if I say it out loud, I won't do it. I'd be held accountable.
Well, how much pressure do you feel?
All the time.
Really?
All of the time. And it's insane. But there's more important things to focus on. And
what?
I also know that I was not put on this earth to be an Instagram model. I have to really come to terms with that. I was put on this earth to write music that heals or connects with other human beings, thus healing and connecting with myself. And I have to tell myself that every day because I'm also an addict. So I know that if I start the process of Botox or fillers or stuff, like, I will become addicted to it.
Mm.
Like, I know I can easily become one of those women.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, have you ever thought about writing a song that's intended to make you feel better about yourself?
I did once. David Shaw and I wrote a song. It's going to be on the next album. It's called Be Somebody Who Loves. And when I wrote it, I just wanted it to be one of those songs that made me feel loved and to remind myself to be somebody who loves, like agape love, everybody that you encounter, not just the people you like.
Yeah.
So that is like one of my favorite songs to get to sing. It's fun to make people happy. It reminds me of when I was with Galactic, when I can just, like, don't, you know, dance and be more like having fun instead of eyes closed, very serious, deep connection moments. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to have the lighter moments of
it is.
Of, talking
it
about
is, and to give yourself a break, you know.
Yeah, to give myself a damn break.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. What would you like to leave us with? Something that makes you feel good.
Oh, let's do Be Somebody then, I guess. You want to try it?
Maggie Kerner and Rob Kellner on piano joined us here at Marini Studios. Best wishes. We wish you every happiness.
Thank you. I wish you happiness too, Gwen.
Thank you.
Boom, ba-dum, boom, ba-da-dum, boom, 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 ba-dum, boom,
Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. When I was 4 years old, my grandmama gave me stories for a reason. She told me, be patient, child. When I was 13 years old, that boy gave me my first kiss. He gave me songs I won't forget. I did not recognize my own soul. Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. 22 years old, give me love, love, give me love, love, give me love, love, till I can't stand up anymore. Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Nearly 30 years old, second time, but I free my mind. Lord, give me that good forever time. But the one who's desperately inclined to walk that faded line with me, Lord. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Bum, 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 bum. Don't you wanna be somebody who loves? I need love more than the thing that kept me up, that made me sing. It's not enough, it's everything, it's all inside. I break the chain. I needed love more than the thing that kept me up. And maybe sing, it's not enough, it's everything, it's all inside. I break that chain. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody who loves? Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna be somebody? Ba-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Don't you wanna, don't you wanna, don't you wanna? Somebody who loves. Don't you wanna be somebody?
And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Lars Howell, Margaret Howes, Andrew Wimmer, and Justin Armstrong. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about Maggie Kerner, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.